The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hello and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, owner, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. And our very special guest, Bob Mendola of Mendola & Associates, a local surveyor. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us the second week in a row. We are here to answer real estate questions and discuss everything real estate every Saturday and Sunday. We have a full-time real estate office. We have 12 full-time realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years during the week.
You are free to email us with any questions you might have. Email them to questions at jruddy.com. That's questions at jruddy.com. Or you can call us at 570-344-6724.
You can friend us on Facebook. Also, you could go to jruddy.com and search the MLS, search our listings, or listen to archive radio shows. Okay, Bob Mendola of Mendola & Associates. You've been surveying since 1977, and you serve how many counties?
At the present time, I'm saying around about 11 or 12 counties in this area of northeastern Pennsylvania.
Very extensive territory. Excellent.
Yes.
So you know your way around. If I ever needed directions, I can call you.
Thank you.
Okay. And you do all different types of surveys. You do commercial, subdivisions, residential. You do it all.
That is correct.
Okay. And you have a crew, mainly three of your surveyors are your sons?
That's correct. And I have a couple of part-time employees also.
Wonderful. Okay. So, you know, last week we talked about some of the reasons why a property owner would have a survey and some of the disputes that arise. And what happens, you know, something I was thinking about after that show was what happens if when you do a survey and you find that somebody else's property is on the property you surveyed? What usually happens then?
Well, first of all, in doing the survey as accurately as you can by your research information and going out and doing your field reconnaissance work, the thing I find most important is to show all things relative to your lines of the survey of the property. In that sense, what you do is show where everything is located relative to what you've determined to be those property lines as accurately and quickly as you can, based on a deed and any other information that may be available. This way you give as much a complete picture of not just what the boundaries themselves show, but what is relative to all those boundaries that are on those properties.
Do you find, I mean, I'm sure it doesn't happen every survey, but do you find that there's some surprises? People don't realize some things?
Over time, over the years, you know, as this area was developed and properties were built, subdivisions of, you know, parts of Scranton, let's say as an example, or even the outlying areas of Dunmore and Troop, Dixon City, as a few examples, you will find from yesteryear, as people did their thing to build their homes and build garages, put up their fences, put up sheds or additions to those structures, you find a lot of anomalies where you're pretty close, if sometimes not a little bit over the boundary. And that happens more times than you think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, a lot of times when people call, I'm sure they have no really idea of what is entailed with a survey. So somebody calls you for a survey. What do you tell them?
Well, I break it up down in three steps as I talk to my client on the phone. And I explain it to them as clearly and easily as I can so I can allay any of their fears or have them be a little more relaxed about going into a survey. And I have the first step I tell them is I do the research for the survey, which, of course, includes going to the courthouse, getting a copy of their deed. And usually when you do a survey with immediate areas around you and a lot of other properties around you, you get all the adjoining properties deeds, so that when you do the survey for your client, you're doing everybody else around there to make sure everything is relative and you're meeting the deeds of the adjoiners as well as doing your own property. So that's the first step to get the research. The second step is what you tell the people, you go out and do the field work. That means you go out with your people and your instruments and you measure the property and you set up your work to deal with getting that boundary delineated so that you can put the pins in their corners. And then the results of all that work, it leads to our third step, which is we give them a certified map of the property, which will show them what actually we're doing for them. And this is a picture or a map showing the detail of the boundaries with respect to, let's say, the house or the garage, if there's a garage, or fencing and things of that nature.
Okay. So it's a three-step process. Research, measurements, sketch.
That's correct.
Okay. Survey map.
That's correct.
Okay. So that's the process. And how long does it usually take to do a survey? And a regular 50 by 150 lot.
Yeah, and an average lot, if you're doing the research, you might put a few hours into that. And of course, now with today's means, we could go online and get a lot of information, as can other people, not just a professional, anybody, any layperson, anybody in any other field, any other profession has access, as we do, to the records. So that's a very good thing for everyone. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, that starts out maybe a couple hours of your time to get all those pieces of information.
Well, you need that before you even step foot on the property.
That is correct.
Okay.
And then that leads you to the second step, which is you go out and do the field work.
So a couple weeks maybe?
I try to set it up to be fair to people as I could. And I try to give them, like, say, a two-week envelope, mm-hmm. two and a half weeks. Mm-hmm. And that means I'll get the research, get out and do the actual field work, and then get that information to put that in the computer for your map. So you can look at about 2 to 2.5 weeks.
Now, a lot of times people, that's not bad, but a lot of times people think that a survey costs a ton of money. And considering that, you know, it's something that really boundary lines are pretty important. You want to know what you own. You want to know what your neighbors are. Do you have, and I'm sure it's different on when you do acreage and that sort of thing, and the more you travel, I'm sure it's a different cost.
That's a good point, Jackie. Everything's based on the, number one, a parcel in the city of Scranton may be a certain package rate based on taking your time for research and the field work and mapping in that realm of itself. But then when you get into other types of larger tracts of land, acres of land, then based on how many acres and
grading.
That's right, the grade of the land,
Topography, bushes.
Absolutely. That all plays a role, absolutely.
Heavy undergrowth and thorns.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where I want to go.
That makes it all the more interesting, of course. And also, like we say, the access, we're talking about the growth, and if you have stone walls, you find other markings of your neighbors that adjoin you. And all these things play a role into the degree of difficulty or effort to put into that survey.
Mm-hmm. Which would make it a little bit more expensive than just a regular, everyday city lot.
That's correct.
Okay. You know, when I'm thinking about, and we're going to be headed towards a short break, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. But one of the things I wanted to touch on, you know, we could start the discussion and then pick it up after the break, is what happens when you have a parcel of land that has had two surveys and they're different? What happens?
Very good question, Jackie, and people are always asking that. And it's interesting because one wants to think that they did the survey, and of course that's the most accurate job they can do, and and that they've done the best job. But in fairness to people that did work yesteryear and with different means of technology and different approaches in the survey from the judgments that they did make to make those things happen for their resolution of the boundary survey. But it's very evident that you could get into a situation where one survey was done in one part of the block or next door to, let's say, your property, and then you do your work. And here's a very key factor, and I try to get it across to not just my client, but everybody involved and the neighbors involved and anybody that's part of it, is that they have to realize that it's where you start the survey, from what part of the block, what intersection you start with.
Okay, well, let's talk about that after the break. Hold that thought, please. We'll come back to that. Before we go to break, Pat, you have a listing? Listings.
No, I have an article I'm going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Yes, great. I read an interesting article, and it says renters now spend 5% more of their household budget on housing costs than do homeowners. You wouldn't think so. And the difference is growing as rents rise. Since 2005, homeowners' expenditures for housing has risen from 32% of their total budget to 33.2%. So that's only a 1.2% rise in those years, which, you know, interest rates being the way they are has a lot to do with it. So, but for renters, the costs have risen from 35.5% of their total household budget to over 38%. So basically what this article is saying is if you own a home as opposed to renting, you are spending a smaller percentage of your total income on housing and you are building equity, which is much better. I mean, so go out and buy a home. That's what we're trying to tell you. So when you rent, you put your money in someone else's pocket. So with low interest rates and flat housing prices, now is the time to buy a home and save money so you can spend it on other things in your family budget.
Wonderful. Thank you, Pat. That's compliments of Riz Media, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. We're going to take a short break now. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We will be right back.
When you close your eyes and imagine the home of your dreams, what do you think of? The perfect bathroom or the perfect kitchen? Or maybe you've always wanted the perfect room to curl up and watch the game or read a book. Jack Ready Real Estate wants to help you find that perfect home. Whether it's time to move up or you're simplifying your life but don't want to sacrifice your comfort, take a virtual tour online at jruddy.com. That's JRUDDY.com. Looking today or know someone who is? Call Jack Ready Real Estate, 344-6724. That's 344-6724 or online at jruddy.com. JRUDDY.com. Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on Saturdays and Sundays on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Jack Ready knows real estate.
I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. When opportunity knocks, you want to be ready. At Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, we have an exceptional understanding of the real estate market. With over 40 years experience, we make sure when you walk through our door, you will be given the highest level of service. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate can help smooth the way when things get complicated. You need the real estate representation you deserve, and Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate can deliver.
Hi, I'm Pat Devaney, and I'm a realtor with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. We will guide you during every step. Call us today for any questions. Whether you are buying or selling, call 570-344-6724. That's 344-6724. Friend us on Facebook or visit jruddy.com. And don't forget to tune into the Real Estate Roundtable Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Again, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, owner, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning again.
Good morning again. And our very special guest, Bob Mendola, local surveyor of Mendola & Associates.
Good morning.
Good morning. surveying properties since 1977, and you serve about 12 counties.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. You travel very far to do a survey these days.
We try to get around.
You know the areas. That's great. Now, before the break, we were talking about two surveys done on one property and maybe having different results and what one usually does in that case.
Okay, that can be treated in two respects, Jackie. You could be doing the survey of that lot and maybe find markers on the property that don't resemble or retrace the actual deed. That's one aspect of not following the work that was done earlier in the survey before that. Or you may have a property next to you and you find the pins and they don't match up to that deed. So you can have a combination of things that happen when we say things don't match from one surveyor to another. Usually it's one where a survey is done on one property and then let's say either a joiner on either side or the rear, the marks that you come up with or find don't match those particular deeds as well as your own. Can that happen? Absolutely. And it's one where, as we as surveyors, we go out, we make judgments based on our control of how we approach the survey. Usually in a city area or a city property or proper area where you have stores and all other uses of property as well as residential use, you look at a block-to-block basis where you have two intersections on either side of you for where your property is located, and then you're looking at taking your control and coming from either intersection to align your control measurements to the deeds in that area. In some cases, there are situations where there's an excess in a block from intersection to intersection or right-of-way to right-of-way, let's say, and sometimes there may be a shortage. Either way that happens creates some kind of anomalies in your approach for your resolution of a survey. A surveyor from one intersection may take his control from that, whereas another surveyor can come from the other intersection. And those shortages or excesses can play a role in how the surveys match up. That's how these things happen. As much as surveying is a science, there's a lot of judgments in making these things work with deeds based on the area you're working in.
Well, that's a lot like the real estate business with appraisals and market analysis. You have different conclusions made, and it's not an exact science. I say that all the time. That,
sure.
You know, that these things...
Yeah, but we were talking about it before. It says sometimes a deed says more or less. And I saw they were doing a survey, and I saw them in the middle of Greenridge Street. I says, you're in the wrong place. What the heck are they doing over in Greenridge Street? Now I know what they were doing. They were figuring out where they're going to start.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, Pat. And the other thing is trying to decide the right-of-way for each street, because you have curb to curb, then you have a little grassy area, and then you have your sidewalks. And people think that the right-of-way is always out near the curbs. It's not. It's usually on the other side of the sidewalk towards the properties.
Mm.
People have that misconception. So when you're doing dividing your curb lines to come up with your right-of-ways, that's a judgment in itself.
Do you find, and I have to tell you, it's funny, and I always laughed. I have this attorney, Pennsylvania Association of Realtors attorney, Jim Goldsmith, that does seminars, and from time to time he'll talk about this. And he says, you know, pins have a way of moving in the middle of the night. And I always chuckle when I hear that, because you can see that happening, can't you?
I think so. I think over time... people, again, human nature is defensive, and if somebody from yesteryear or your parents or your relatives said, oh, no, those markers were here, people have a tendency to put them back where they thought they were.
Mm.
And that could add to our confusion in surveying.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
oh, yeah,
well,
sure.
We had ours surveyed. What I did was I took a grinder and I made a mark in the sidewalk next to where the pin is, so... the pin can't move in the middle of the night unless they want to move the piece of concrete that I grinded out too.
That was a smart move.
Okay. So, you know, and Pat, you had a question on the break about...
This is something that's called an era of closure. Bob is working on a deal for us, and he looked at it, and he said that the area, it's approximately 15 acres, and he said that he did the addition on all the numbers, and they don't add up. So what exactly is an era of closure?
That's a good question, Pat, and my response to that is, when you take a particular parcel of land, in this case acres of land, you take your deed, which of course is that conveying title of the property in your realm of real estate from buyer to seller, you would take that document, and with our means today of technology on the computer, we can plot what we call meets and bounds on the deed. Example, as people read a deed, and it'll say, that's along a stone wall, and it'll give you a bearing of north 55 degrees, 35 minutes, 14 seconds east for so many feet. Well, you take all those calls, and you would put them in a computer, and it has a program that mathematically sets all these values in place. And the key here is when you start from point one or point of origin or point of beginning, and you go all these meets and bounds around your property, theoretically and mathematically, it's supposed to come back to your point where you start. And a lot of cases, it doesn't. And that's what we call error of closure.
Oh.
Makes your job interesting.
It can make you...
Prolong it
and spin around for some time to come up with a value or a resolution.
And Jessica, our producer, asked about, you know, someone I think in her family had a land that was abandoned, maybe, like, you know, a lot of times we see in the city, Scranton and areas, that there might be city-owned land.
That's correct.
And it's not taken care of, and, you know, say it's adjoining to somebody's property, and someone has taken care of it, cut it, maintained it, so on and so forth. Are there squatter rights or adverse possession?
That is a good point, and you're saying all the right things there, Jackie. In our situation as surveyors, and no less than you, in real estate, these things apply, and they deal with laws of land, of course, in the state of Pennsylvania where we're at. And these kinds of things, as you mentioned, over a duration of time, there are many elements, and I don't want to sound like an attorney because I have enough. Just to keep doing my own survey work.
Enough to do with the survey work is keeping you busy. Huh?
Exactly.
But you've come across it, and you understand it. So you
yes, and the point here is that when you see this happen, as a surveyor, you try to identify, number one, the physicalness of it, the use of it, evidence of what's happening with the property, and then from that you come on with the terms of how long the thing was being used for that period of time, and all of these elements add up to lend into going for, as they say, quiet title of property or adverse possession as you're using it. These all play a role in that.
Okay. So it is possible.
Absolutely.
All right. So, you know, in your years, getting back to the people that have had a survey maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, technology, you mentioned, is so much different today, and we've seen that in the real estate business. So the possibility, you know, sometimes people, when we go to list a property to sell it and they bring out that 50-year-old survey, is it wise, or is it something that you would suggest somebody updating maybe?
That's a good point. And the best way I can answer that for you, in my experience, in my adventures of doing the work in surveying all these years, as we say, almost 35 years, is that I always have to give due respect to all the guys that started out before all this technology began. And I have a lot of respect for and admiration for the old-time surveyors, if I could say it. Maybe I'm an old-time surveyor, too, for that matter. But anyway, you look back at those times when they used their old transits and compasses and steel tapes. And now we have all this new technology of computers and EDMs, which it's a transit that shoots light beams. And if you want to get more sophisticated, you go into GPS, which is you're using satellites for position on the Earth. It's just mind-boggling, and it's really tremendous. But you know what? All that being said, I give due respect to the old times when they surveyed. Yes, we can update that data, and if everybody understands where we came from and where we're at, and give due respect to all of that, eventually it works out.
Okay, good advice. Well, we're headed towards that time, and we thank you again for joining us a second week in a row, Bob Mendola from Mendola & Associates, a local surveyor. We've had two good weeks of discussion with you, and if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how do they do so?
A couple ways, if you would. Emailing me, you can get me on email address, which is in lowercase letters. My last name, which is Mendola, M-E-N-D-O-L-A. No space. The next word is the word surveys, plural, S-U-R-V-E-Y-S, at Verizon.net. And then you can call the office phone at 570-346-8249. And I also have a cell phone that I do list in the Yellow Page ads. And I don't mind people call me when I'm in the middle of a survey because it's business. And that number is 570-840-4883.
Okay, great. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Before we close, Pat, will you review some listings, please?
We have several lots available at the entrance to the coveted Schoolside Estate Development. These pieces of land are located on Underwood Road in Troop. So if you're driving on Interstate 81 and you see T-H-R-O-O-P, it's pronounced Troop for all you New Yorkers out there, right next to the Mid-Valley Middle and High School. The first lot is zoned commercial and is on 1.5 acres. The next two lots are 2.8 acres and 3.4 acres. And we also have a 3.5 acre parcel zoned residential that's approved for townhouses and has a great view. We have signs on all these pieces of land, and the prices range from $158,000 to $299,000. If you are interested, give us a call on these great pieces of land located at Underwood Road and Spartan Road in Troop next to the Mid-Valley School.
Thank you, Pat. And my tip today is if you're looking for extra space in the kitchen, here's a great idea. It's called the Toe Kick Storage. The space under your kitchen cabinets is a treasure trove of storage possibilities. Put placemats, napkins, cookie sheets, and how-to manuals there. Hire a cabinet maker to install them or request them as a custom feature in your new cabinet order. We have to say goodbye. Thanks for joining the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM The Talker, again with Jackie Ruddy, owner, and Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor. We're of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. You can remember to
email us during the week at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can call us toll free at 888-399-5225.
View our listing, search the MLS, or listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com. And don't forget to friend us on Facebook. Have a wonderful weekend.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
When you close your eyes and imagine the home of your dreams, what do you think of? The perfect bathroom or the perfect kitchen? Or maybe you've always wanted the perfect room to curl up and watch the game. Or read a book. Jack Ruddy Real Estate wants to help you find that perfect home. Whether it's time to move up or you're simplifying your life but don't want to sacrifice your comfort, take a virtual tour online at jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Looking today or know someone who is? Call Jack Ruddy Real Estate, 344-6724. That's 344-6724 or online at jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on Saturdays and Sundays on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Jack Ruddy knows real estate.